We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, Jimmy, for a special guest and a longtime friend of the program.
Absolutely. That is Pat Dooley with the Dooley Podcast. And we appreciate him. He's talked to us about Florida for many, many years. Pat, how you doing?
I like that you brought me in with a little Boston, man. That was my late 70s. in the late 70s, man, I lived for Boston. That was great.
Well, is it great that Florida has hired Billy Napier from Louisiana Lafayette?
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, that is the thing. I mean, there's no guarantees on anything. I was talking to my cohort on the radio down here in Gainesville, Jeff Cardozo, about this today at the golf course. And I said, you know, think about this. Who is a better hire, Dan Mullen or Billy Napier? Well, Dan Mullen, when they hired Dan Mullen, was a better hire.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out. So, I mean, you're already going into it with that wasn't as good a hire, but it may be better for what Florida needs right now in terms of changing the culture, getting guys back to playing hard every play, every game, instead of only playing hard occasionally. I mean, a guy who really gets the recruiting part of it and it certainly understands what they've got to do in recruiting. And now he's going to inherit a brand new building, which is going to be huge. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, look, I don't think Florida's going to be very good next year, to be honest with you, Jimmy. I mean, they opened the season with Utah and Kentucky to start the first two games. I mean, it's not going to be easy. And I don't know that their talent level's that good. I don't think it was that good this year. I thought it was better, but now that we never get to see practice, so you kind of go by recruiting rankings and transfer portal information. When they started finally playing, we went, oh, these guys aren't that good. Oh, sorry, I was wrong about that.
How did it happen that the players didn't always play hard for Dan Mullen?
This is my theory, and I can tell you it's a theory that is shared by people in that building over there. It goes back to the LSU game last year. That team did not get prepared, and their coach did not prepare them because they were trying to get ready for Alabama, because they knew if they lose or win the LSU game, beat Alabama, you're in the playoffs probably. Okay, well, that's the wrong way to go approach a game. And it certainly caught the eye of the athletic director. Why did this team not get ready to play? Why, you know, it was an LSU team of like 60 players and, you know, a brand new quarterback and all that. And that was when it kind of started. And then it just kind of went downhill. And, you thought when they played Alabama to a 2-point game that maybe they were going to be really good again this year. But he gave them an excuse not to play hard in that game, in that LSU game. He said, we can still get in the playoffs and lose in this game. You never tell your team that. And then the Oklahoma game after that, you know, two weeks later, not 2 weeks, but in the bowl game, they didn't even try. And he basically said, hey, it was a scrimmage for us. He just gave them too many opportunities to opt out of playing hard, and I think that's where he lost them, and I think he lost his own way himself.
Pat, it really was something to watch this season unfold, because you do have the way that they played. I mean, with that rally they had against Alabama, came so close to finishing the drill, they just didn't get the 2-point try that would have pulled them even. At what point in time in this season did you realize that, hey, they might drop the hammer on Mullen?
South Carolina, there's no doubt. I mean, the LSU game was really bad, and that's when you said Todd Grantham's not going to last the season, but he certainly will be back next year. But after the South Carolina game, when that team went out there and did not play hard, and, I remember they had a lot of people with the flu and everything, but, you know, you play through that.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, Mullen's talking to Scott Strickland and he's like, they're talking about what he's going to say. And he's going to say, well, we had the flu and everything, but everybody played hard. And Scott like looked at him and went, you think that team played hard? Are you out of your mind?
Wow.
Cause they didn't, they totally laid an egg. And I think that's where the it started flowing from that point. I think there had been a lot of buildup to maybe this is not going to work out to, wow, this, if he thinks that team played hard, maybe we need to go in another direction. So I think that was where it really got bad. And then, you know, the Samford game, you know, where they played so bad the first half, and then they played really well in the second half, but nobody remembers that. Mm-hmm. And then losing to Missouri again, where you had 10 penalties in that game. Of course, they had 13 on Saturday and still somehow won because a kicker whiffed on a kick. But it's just gone bad here, and it got to a point where it was toxic. And the fans were upset with they were ready to let Dan go. They were tired of his whole act. You know, and it goes back again to last year, guys, where, you know, one press conference after Texas A&M, he's demanding a full stadium during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then he comes out in the Darth Vader suit after causing a, you know, an issue on the field at halftime in Missouri. And then tells everybody, we didn't even try to play against Oklahoma. You know, stuff like that. He's bad at press conferences, man. He's not good at all.
Do you think that's, I mean, just the accumulation of everything that you were just talking about? I kind of thought that since there had been the relationship in Starkville, that perhaps there would just be the benefit of the doubt for Strickland when it came to Coach Mullen, but it really seems like he exhausted anything that might have been favorable in Scott Strickland's view of him, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And the funny thing is, I think that Scott was seeing a guy who was different. I think something happened with Dan, and I know that my friend Andy Staples from The Athletic has a great analysis of this that he's talked about, and he just spoke to our quarterback club here. You know, when he beat Georgia, a Georgia team that was down their three best defenders, but he had generational talent and guys like Pitts and Tony and obviously Kyle Trask. And when he won that game, it was almost like, hey, I can beat anybody with anybody you want to give me, you know, and instead of the attention to detail and focusing on things and, you know, doing a lot of things that were really the little things that make a difference, he kind of got away from that. And he just went, hey, I'm so smart. I will figure out a way to score enough points to beat you. And that's where he kind of lost the administration a little bit, because they could see it. And I think that, you know, in the case of Scott Strickland, he that was a Dan he never saw at Mississippi State, but mm-hmm. he did become that at Florida.
I guess, Pat Dooley. Pat, I want you to finish this sentence. Billy Napier will succeed at Florida, whereas Dan Mullen and Jim McElwain did not, because –
organization, you know, would be number one, is doing things the right way, being smart. Here's the thing. Here's where I think, and again, I've not met Billy Napier yet, but I can only go by what people are saying about him, what other people said, and what the athletic directors told me privately. But Billy Napier is really smart, but he doesn't walk around like he's the smartest guy in the room. Florida's had two straight coaches who thought they were the smartest guy in the room. One of them, a lot of times, was in Dan Mullen. One of them, Jim McElwain, never was the smartest guy in the room, okay? He never was. Not even in the media room, he wasn't the smartest guy in the room. But they had guys who had that attitude, and Billy Napier comes in here with very humble. I mean, this is a guy who got fired at Clemson by Dabo Sweeney and kind of reconstructed himself. And I think it's a – you know, I was thinking about, he's very similar to Peter Burns. And I know you know Peter Burns really well. Peter did a big, long essay about how he was kind of full of himself and it got knocked out of him. And now he's one of the nicest guys I know, one of the best guys I know. And I think that's what Billy Napier, I think he had to kind of make himself a little bit humbled. And I think he comes in here with a humble attitude. And I think that's going to help. Now, is that going to win any games? I don't know. I don't know how many games he's going to win next year. I don't know how many games he's going to win in 5 years. I mean, or if he's going to be here in 3 years. I mean, this is a – don't forget, this is a program that – here are the last three coaches. One guy was coach of the year, 2 years later fired in the SEC. Next guy won two straight SECs, fired the next year. The next guy won the SECs, fired the next year. So, I mean, there's not a lot of tolerance for not being exactly what they want you to be here at Florida. It's kind of a different even than, I mean, I know that happens a lot in the SEC, but I think Florida is kind of weird in that way.
Because of the expectations at Florida, and I know the expectations of a lot of programs, but because of the expectations at Florida, do you think the Florida job is overrated?
Oh, I don't think it's overrated. I don't think it's overrated now, especially with this new facility when it's ready to go. I mean, I was just driving by it just now on the way to go do our radio show, and, I mean, it's going to be spectacular how good it's going to be. But I do think that, you know, it is a job that is it's not an easy job. It's not for everybody. It's a hard job. You're constantly, you know, whatever you do, everybody knows what you're doing. And it's a very, you know, very, not a big town, 130,000 people, most of them are, half of them are students. So, and they don't have a lot of tolerance. I mean, this is, I've said this before. And I think you'll agree with me on this, Jimmy. Florida fans got to taste something that nobody else has ever tasted. They got to win back-to-back national championships in basketball and then 2 and 3 years in football right in the same time frame. So basically, everything they touched turned to gold. And they loved how that tasted. It was the greatest taste in the world. It was this great ambrosia. And they won it again. But they aren't going to get it again. Nobody is. Nobody's ever going to win 4 titles in 3 years in the 2 major sports. That's just not going to happen. So, but they want it, and they think they deserve it. And they think it's something that they've earned by going through 0-10-1 and Lindsey Scott. But they haven't. I mean, I think the expectations are really hard to deal with here, but no more than they will be when Nick Saban retires at Alabama.
Pat, do you think that, as we've seen in several places already, that the transfer portal will be busy in terms of the exit door from Gainesville, and would you expect perhaps better participation in the bowl game to come since they beat Florida State, or more of what we saw last year?
Yeah, I don't – like, Kyrie Elam, I would guess, is no way he's playing the bowl game. I mean, there was a game this year he didn't play because he didn't want to take a chance on getting hurt, so that tells you where he was. You know, there are some other guys. I mean, Zach Carter, I don't know that he will play. I mean, they're going to be missing some major players, but, you know, I don't even know. I mean, they're talking about the Gasparilla Bowl, and I don't think anybody's going to get real fired up for it. But, you know, and again, you know, Billy Napier's not going to be coaching them in that game. That's going to be Greg Knox, the interim coach. So I think you'll see something similar. But, look, they're not losing – you know, Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitt. You know, those were different players. So,
hey, Pat, always great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to having you join us again sometime in the future.
Jimmy, young man, anytime you need me.
Thanks, Pat. We appreciate it. Good job. Thank you.
Thanks.
And that is Pat Dooley with a breakdown of Florida's hiring of Billy Napier.
Joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.